Link loves this barbershop.
Yeah.
Clearly.
And by that, I do not mean the place where I get my hair
cut. Or that awesome movie.
Oh, yeah.
Or the sequel.
With Cedric the Entertainer.
Or Beauty Shop.
Or, yeah, the girl version of
it. Ladies like to get their hair done, too.
Ethnic hair products.
The least used aisle in Walmart.
Ethnic hair care. Hair products. I used to work in a grocery store, man. I know where that shit's at.
The guy that was in Die Hard.
Gary Oldman.
I was like,
No, that was Alan Rickman.
It was Bruce Willis is who I was thinking of, but thanks for playing. Alan Rickman.
You sort of broke the rules to your own game.
I can do a pretty good Alan Rickman impression.
Hello, this is Alan Rickman.
Hello.
Hello.
then it just becomes Medea. Hello.
Shut up.
Hello, this is Alan Rickman.
Do you want to like put that?
So, all right, are we ready? Are we ready?
As ready as I'm going to be.
Yeah, I guess.
Now I've got the giggles.
The jiggles?
Just get it out, man.
Okay. You just go. It'll be funny.
It was about to.
Hi, and Thomas. Welcome to... You pieces of shit! You guys all got the jiggles today.
Okay, go.
Hi,
hey,
and welcome.
Thomas. I'm sorry.
Fucking stop.
Last one. That was it.
That's
Alan Rickman.
Hello. I'm Alan Rickman. Potions. Can you say ethnic hair products like Alan Rickman?
None of them choking to death.
Ethnic hair products.
John Travolta, what are you doing here? I swear to God. Who uses these hair care products?
I don't know.
Alan Rickman.
There aren't any black people in England.
What are you talking about? Of course there are.
Yeah, Mickey Smith from the first Doctor Who season.
I know there are black people in England.
Hi, and welcome to Probably Comics. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Link.
And this is our weekly segment, What's in the Box?
Hey, what is inside of the box?
And it's where we talk about the comic books that we bought this week.
Yeah.
So we just got them in a big stack. We're going to go through them one by one.
Bing, bing.
All right. Still crying.
Okay. Oh, we're going to start this week with Mark Waid's Daredevil, number 8. Little Spidey crossover.
Starting out with a whimper.
Yeah. It the Spider-Man issue that led up to it, I thought was really fun, and this one seemed more about trying to get Daredevil to fuck Black Cat.
It just seemed rushed. Like they seemed like they were like, oh, well, let's go ahead and explain what happened. And
everything led up to Daredevil boning Black Cat. Yeah. That is what the entire.
Did he?
Yeah,
well,
no, because Foggy called him and blew it.
Of course.
You Foggy. Blew it, Foggy.
Jon Favreau blows everything.
My favorite panel of Daredevil was Spider-Man hanging up against a wall, and he was like, I think this is my supervillain origin story. Spider-Man, once again, is
hilarious.
Saves the day. Saves a potentially bad book from being terrible.
Which, I will say, this is what, the second issue of Daredevil that Mark Waid's put out that I've been like, meh, about. Out of 8, which is a pretty good ratio, if you ask me. Like, it's not I'm going to stop reading this book bad. It was just, compared to the caliber that I'm used to dealing with in Daredevil, not...
It just didn't meet the bar.
It didn't meet the bar.
It seemed like Marvel was like, let's get Spider-Man in on this. And he's like, I really want to do that. Yeah. Nobody likes to team up with Spider-Man, especially not the guy who has to, for everything to be quiet.
Yeah.
So...
I think I'm the only person that read Blue Beetle this week.
Damn right you are.
Blue Beetle number 5. I don't know if I'm going to keep reading it.
Why not?
I got to get rid of something.
And it may as well be fucking Blue Beetle.
Well, you should have kept reading Static Shock because it was going to be over at issue 8 anyway.
Well, whatever. It really was. It really was not good at
all. Well, it got canceled.
Yeah, but the thing about this was it was actually kind of a cool book. Like, I enjoyed it. I just think I'm going to have to put it to the wayside. But he killed his best friend accidentally because basically, so this kid's got this scarab suit on and it's got a mind of its own.
It's Blue Beetle.
Yeah, and so. He like revealed his identity to his friend, and the suit's like, you can't do that. And he stabs at the suit, so the suit kills his friend. And in this issue, he makes the suit heal his friend, and that's gonna end up being his friend's gonna end up being another beetle, like a bad beetle to fight.
That sounds awful.
Yeah, but one thing that was actually really good was that they have the Reach is going to attack the home planet of the Blue Lanterns. Like, that's something. And so that's something we'll see in Green Lantern New Guardians.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be a cool thing.
Yeah, that's what I was talking. When we talked about New Guardians last time, I was like, I think Blue Beetle's about to cross over with it.
Yeah. All right. I think Tyler read Thunderbolts.
Yep. I can't believe you're not reading the link.
I don't really care about any of these people.
Well, they're like the villain New Avengers.
It's like villains for hire, except for the part where it doesn't suck.
It's really good. I mean, it's still like they still can't figure out why their ship keeps traveling through time. So they keep like every two issues or so they go to a different time period. And this one they're in King Arthur's court, which is pretty awesome because Merlin is there and he's like magic is real. So it's like Merlin and he's facing off against Satana and they're trying to trick each other out of stuff. And Thunderbolts get captured and taken down into the dungeon of Camelot, which houses all of the mythical creatures that Merlin needs for his like special ingredients. Like Grendel is down there and stuff like that. It's pretty good.
Hmm.
I'm really enjoying it. I still don't like if you ask me who the characters were, I could still only name like three. But I'm really enjoying it.
I think Thomas was our only New Mutants number 36, Regenesis.
Yep, that's
Evil Rock Band.
Yeah, basically. So they kind of they finally figured out what the deal is with the Evil Rock Band. Apparently, they're not evil. Like they're being mind controlled by
Don't you hate it when that happens?
Some type of alien.
Did Rogue show up and want to give up her powers to screw everybody else too?
No. Basically. Cypher, who he's like, he can speak with any technological mm-hmm. form, basically.
Mm-hmm. I like him.
Yeah, Cypher's awesome. He grabs the box and basically like sees what's going on. He's like the closest word I can use to describe what the thing is it's a ship, and something happened to the ship, and there's a piece of it in this box, and the box it uses chaos energy as fuel. So it's using this rock band to create a lot, like, basically that's where all these storms and stuff are coming from and natural disasters and stuff that Blink's been going around saving people from. But I want to see what happens after this arc, because this one was okay, but it was part of the whole Regenesis branding, and that it had a lot to do just kind of with that. Mm-hmm. That was sort of the undertone of the whole thing was Regenesis. So I'm interested to see where the comic goes as, like, an ongoing series and not just part of this sort of event.
Word. All right, Shattered Heroes, Avengers number 21. I think
surprisingly,
we all
read.
Yeah,
this.
All of us finally read an Avengers book.
I read this over. I may drop New Mutants and read this instead.
You mean New Avengers?
I might drop New Avengers.
Oh, okay.
And read this instead. Yeah, I'm not reading.
No, this was great.
It was really good. I mean, like Storm. I came in an issue late, mm-hmm. I guess, because all the like Storm and Red Hulk were already down.
Yeah,
and
in the last issue, basically the Avengers went to go after Norman Osborn,
right?
And so they looked in all the usual places, and he wasn't there, but he was waiting for them. So they split up, and he had operatives waiting for him at every turn.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a lot of like hiring out other groups too, like Hydra or AIM.
Well, he's got a lot of money.
Like
actually, good point, Thomas.
Super crime, basically.
Hammer is now Hammer, Hydra, AIM, and the Hand.
Oh,
those
wow.
All fall
the
under
Hand are involved?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Those all fall under Hand. That's where Gorgon comes from, mm-hmm. isn't that right? And they all fall under Osborn now. Mm-hmm. They're all with him. So he is...
Because there's some stuff with the Hand going on in Wolverine, too. Because is it Kingpin? Does Kingpin run the Hand now?
He did.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Kingpin's in charge of that. He's the American leader of the Hand.
Oh, cool.
Punisher killed him, I think, recently. Or Punisher.
Kingpin?
Yeah.
Kingpin was in not 300, but the issue before that in Wolverine.
Oh. Well, Punisher killed him recently. Maybe that was Punisher Max. Dragons. Maybe that was Punisher Max.
Yeah. Because I don't think you could get away with killing off Wilson Fisk. He's way too important.
I mean, just bring in Michael Clark Duncan.
He was great.
That whole movie was really good.
I can't even say it was Jason.
That whole movie was so good. Ben Affleck, he's so good. That was Ben Affleck, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That came out on Valentine's Day. I took a date.
Did you go see Daredevil?
Nice.
I was like, I'm so sorry.
I think I'm the only person that read Fear Itself, The Fearless.
Goddamn right you are.
Yeah, you are.
Is
that number 8?
Yeah.
Of what?
12.
Oh, no, sorry. 7 of 12.
Oh, you God. Got 5 more.
Yeah. Crossbones versus Wolverine is really cool. But other than that, you know, it's moving along.
Who's writing this?
This is Bunn. It's everybody. Bunn, Fraction, Yost, Bagley, Pelletier.
Oh, God. Matt
but
Fraction.
Crossbones v. Wolverine is neat, and Wolverine kicks ass.
Of course he does. He's Wolverine. He's the best. He's the best there is at what he does.
Generation Hope, Regenesis, number 15.
She went all Phoenix.
Gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she bucked up, man.
Yeah. She was like, basically the thing is that she brought back a mind-wiped Sebastian Shaw.
Which is a big deal to everyone else on the island except for Hope, because she has no fucking clue who he
well,
is.
Well, all of her team.
Yeah, all the kids.
But apparently Emma Frost wiped his mind and left him in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
And they found him and brought him back.
Phantom X actually kicked him out of a plane.
Yeah.
That's what happened. Phantom X is such a bad guy.
God, I can't wait to talk about that later. And Jen Hope, and he's like, and she's like, well, it's not fair. It's not fair for you to be angry at him for the stuff that he's done when his mind is completely wiped. And the big thing that happened in the book was that she turned around real angry at Cyclops and went Phoenix for a second.
Well, and made what's his name? The guy who's like this he's like a skin sculptor.
Yeah.
Basically makes him absorb everyone, like all of her team and all of the people they're fighting. She makes him get really big. He's like, what the fuck's going on? And just like holds everyone. She's like, all of you stop what you're doing right now.
Uncanny X-Men number 5. I would like to formally welcome Karen Gillan back to the land of the living.
Yeah, no kidding. I was about to say, finally, Uncanny X-Men has a real arc that I'm actually enjoying.
Well, it's because it's
based off
Rick Remender's arc. It's
right. I also like that Psylocke kept it a secret as to what, why it happened. Like, she knows everything, but
Psylocke is the new Wolverine,
and
she got a lot going on.
Which also
she does make that joke.
Yeah,
that Magneto is still the coolest motherfucker.
Oh yeah,
he's like, I know what's going on.
Cool as a cucumber, and he's just like, I'm gonna blow the lid on this.
Yeah.
If you don't do this thing that I said that I can't remember.
But man, what a just really good. I love the all right, who's gonna go with my sister and I?
Yeah,
Colossus. It's like, oh, well, okay.
And then Hope's like, I want to go with Namor. I want to bone him real bad.
Dead ass.
Namor is hilarious.
He's got all the ladies on speed dial.
Dude.
No, they all got him on speed dial, and he's like, what the fuck kind of phone number is this?
He's everybody's number 2.
Atlantis is not a 256.
He's everybody's backup plan. Like, Rogue was like, well, yeah, Magneto's cool now, but Namor is really what I'm going for. Yeah. Hope, Emma Frost, all the sexy X ladies love Namor.
All right, DC Comics, Wonder Woman, number 5.
I'm over it.
Meh. Yeah, I probably will stop reading it.
Yeah.
I dug it. I had fun.
I liked Poseidon.
I didn't have any fun. Yeah.
Now,
I thought
honestly,
Poseidon
Froctopus.
Looked like I thought Poseidon looked like a villain from like Luigi's Mansion.
At this point, I think I'm just gonna stop reading it because it was okay before, and it's quickly gotten not good.
Yeah,
I agree. I'm over Wonder Woman. Like I enjoyed the first couple of issues because it was being written really well, but I don't care anymore. Like they figured out what the deal was with the first issue, and now I'm done. I don't care.
I want to know when they're gonna give us like a plot arc.
In Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When is it going to go somewhere?
Well, it's just, up until now, it's just been gods fighting each other.
And that's
well, really, it's just been
Wonder
gods
Woman,
talking.
Yeah,
yeah. Wonder Woman hasn't done fucking anything.
Yeah, it's boring. Next.
Other than get kicked out of Paradise Island.
Yeah.
Let's see. Deadpool Max 2, number 4. I'm just looking at the cover. That's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
It's okay, so Deadpool. Here's the premise.
Spider-Man quote.
Remember the church in Deadpool Max 2, number 1?
Yes.
So those guys have decided...
The one with the preacher that's being controlled by the monkey?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Monkey? Well,
he's not really being controlled by a monkey. Deadpool just decides he wants to get the monkey.
Really?
Yeah. Deadpool's just like, no, man, I gotta get the monkey.
Yeah, that's. I guess that's true. Okay.
But so they raise $500,000 to hire an assassin who was... trained in an insane asylum by Deadpool's sane again girlfriend.
What does that mean? Sane again, insane again?
Yeah, that's the way she's described. I think she's going to be in the next issue. But so she trains this guy who calls himself Agent X to be an assassin, and he gets hired out by this church to track down Hydra Bob for destroying their place of worship. And so... Deadpool, they're in a hotel room. They're trying to get Hydra Bob fat so that he won't be recognizable. Mm-hmm. So Deadpool's just like force feeding him junk food.
Oh my God.
And so he's like sad, mopey, and like sitting on the hotel room bed. And then he gets up to go to like take a shower or something. Deadpool's watching TV and it's a live feed of Agent X as he's about to kill Hydra Bob. He's tracked him to the hotel room. And, of course, Deadpool just thinks it's great TV. And so he's sitting there watching it. But they're not at $500,000 yet. And so the guy, Agent X, won't do it.
Yeah, because he's got to get $500,000.
Yeah, he's like, you gotta pay me. If you don't pay me, I'm not going to do it.
Please
and
tell
so
me that Deadpool calls in.
Deadpool calls in to pledge the last $20,000.
Love it.
And then realizes that they don't have any money, and the only way they can get it is if they can be tracked. And so... He's like, well, we got to find a way to pay $20,000, but then they go ahead and say it on the TV that they got it, and then out of nowhere, bullets just start flying in through the window. It's really, really funny. Jesus. I had a great time with it. It's super goofy.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Batman number 5.
Woo!
We
all read it.
We all read it.
We don't all feel the same about it.
Thomas and I think it was awesome.
It was the pick of the week.
Yeah.
No,
I loved having to turn the book. I thought that it was a really creative way.
What a chore that would have been to read on an airplane.
But I liked the feeling of being in the maze with the Batman. Yeah. I also liked the way his mask looked with the cracked lens, where he had the one crazy eye and he's like losing his shit. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, it was all right. It was just like. Where's the dark at? Oh, here it is. Whoop, light. And then it was just like, okay, don't go crazy now. Stop going crazy. Whoop, going crazy. Don't go crazy. Like, it was just the same dialogue for like 5 pages.
I thought it was really well written and I thought it was great. My only qualm is Bruce isn't going to drink. Like, why would he have drank out of the crazy fountain in the
first place?
He's
been in there for like 2 or 3 days.
Dude, he's Batman. He's got water on him somewhere.
He's a person. Where does Batman keep water on him?
He's got the bat thermos. Where does Batman keep...
No, Link, hold on. Like, so Batman only has a contingency plan for things that he knows how to make a contingency plan for.
Yeah.
This is not something he was ready for or anything he expected. It'd be one thing if it were like, he's going to fight Bane again. Batman's got a contingency plan.
That's the whole thing is like the Court of Owls are turning Gotham against him. Like his whole thing is that he knows Gotham. Gotham is his city, but there's this part of Gotham that he doesn't know anything about, which is what got exploded and why he's in that maze.
Yeah, and that's why it's driving him crazy.
Yeah, because he can't handle the fact that he doesn't understand part of the city, because that's his whole psyche. And it's really like it's good, and I understand. Like, it just seems like it's form over function to me. Like, it was like, oh, look, the book rotates. And I was like, that's cool, but why? Like, I get that you're in a maze, but who gives a shit?
Me.
Like, it was just something that was like, hey, isn't that neat? And then I was like, yeah, it was kind of neat. I just don't get the claim.
I just don't think there was enough quantum theory for you.
Probably. But it doesn't add anything to the story that you're turning it that way. Like, if it was
I disagree.
If you read it like if there was a way for him to write it there, you read it frontwards the correct way and then turn it over and it's something different, that would be cool.
I thought it added to the experience of reading the book.
Why?
Well, and especially when you're doing
all it did was make you have
pages.
To hold it weird, like it didn't, like the page was still oriented
the way.
You make
it sound like it was this really big, like horrible thing to do.
No, I'm not. What I'm just saying,
it's
you just
like
had,
a few pieces.
You just
of
had
paper.
To hold it differently than you normally would. The pages were still oriented the same way.
I liked it.
Well, I'm not complaining about it. I just don't understand
yes,
why
are.
That was so cool.
You're totally complaining about it.
I'm absolutely not. I'm just explaining to you why I don't understand. I don't understand why you think that's so cool. You're just holding it slightly different.
Well, that's fine. I think it's cool. Link thinks it's cool. You don't have to think it's cool. Well, no one said you had to think it was cool.
Well, I don't think
it's
cool.
I'm not holding a gun to your head.
I think Scott Snyder is writing a great Batman, and I enjoyed the book, but I would have enjoyed it just as much had I not had to turn it around.
I like turning it.
And then had to turn it all the way around to watch Robin start crying.
Uncanny X-Force. All right, moving on.
Let's talk about...
Uncanny X-Force number 20.
The best book of the week. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't think it was the best book of the week, but it was certainly bad to the bone.
It was really good.
It makes me want to learn everything about Captain Britain and his core.
Like, and the other world?
All I want to do now, I don't even want to read anything else until I'm a scholar of the other world. Like I'm so into that like continuity. Yeah. I can't, oh my God.
Have you read Captain America Core?
No. Is that the same deal?
Yeah, it's like there's a bunch of Captain Americas.
Yeah, but are they like defending the Omniverse?
No.
It's like Deadpool Corps.
Yeah.
So no, that's not the same.
They're just from alternate timelines.
Yeah. No.
Lady Deadpool. Headpool. Yeah.
Headpool. I like Headpool.
Headpool.
Dogpool.
Yeah, like Captain Britain. I really want to learn everything I can about that because that's my bread and butter as far as like science fiction is concerned. I love alternate reality stuff.
I think for me this book, confused me a little bit, but I will say this, it made me hungry for the next one because of A,
which is in two
everything reasons. everything that's going on with Kurt, like him just being like a completely different character.
Yeah, and him like ripping people's heads off, bamfing their
all
heads
the
off.
Time.
Ah! That was awesome.
Yeah, so good. And also it's the kind of thing that makes you go, what does Phantom X have up his sleeve?
What is he gonna do?
Yeah. Because he's
well,
not going to die.
Hell no.
I guess Psylocke at the end became Lady Britain, right?
Lady Britain. I guess so,
she put the costume on, she'll do something. She'll have something to do with Phantom X being all right.
She not only is in like 900
she's Wolverine.
Groups, she's also in 900 different costumes.
She needs her own ongoing book. Marvel needs a female ongoing.
Can we replace X-23 with Psylocke?
Yeah, absolutely. Psylocke would, or Lady Britain, just at, like her as Lady Britain would be awesome.
That would be pretty cool.
That she's
with
more
Jamie Braddock?
Called Lady something than like Lady Death, Lady Britain.
Well, she's a lady.
Yeah, Psylocke.
And she's a lady from the upper echelon of English society, which is, they call them ladies.
Yeah, so she is a Braddock after
she
all.
She might as well, I mean, she'd have to, the only thing higher than that would be a dame. She'd have to get damed.
A dame.
Dame Judi Dench.
And girls liked it when you called them dame.
Dame Judi Dench.
Dame Judi Dench.
I know James Judi Dench.
James.
James.
I know.
Oh, man. But yeah, Uncanny X-Force, good. Just and also, if nothing else, there is a Captain Wales.
And a Captain England. Captain England is his shitty lawyer. Too.
All you Torchwood, all you Torchwood fans can be excited that there's a Captain Wales. All you Doctor Who Liggins.
What's next?
Avenging Spider-Man number 3. Great end of an arc. Oh, man, I loved it.
I thought it was. I thought it was fun.
And I love what he's doing. And Zeb Wells, I like that you are writing a love letter to Spider-Man. I don't think that he's overthinking it. I don't think that he's trying to fit it into any other continuity. I think he's just having fun.
Wait, is Zeb Wells writing this and Carnage USA?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I forgot.
But I think he's just having a blast writing Spider-Man.
It's good. Like his J. Jonah Jameson is really good.
Yeah. His J. Jonah is really great.
Who else, maybe Deadpool, but who else would win a huge battle against an insurmountable opponent
by dropping his pants.
Yeah.
It was brilliant. Like he just swung that thing around and dropped his pants, and then they were like, "Well, you shamed him in battle, so that means you win." And he was like, "Oh, all right, cool." Like it was really good.
JJJ writing a great Red Hulk.
I'm not super excited about
Hawkeye.
I'm not excited about Hawkeye.
I love Hawkeye.
I think
Hawkeye.
They'll go back and forth really well.
I don't think so.
I think they'll have great
banter. I think Red Hulk and Spider-Man's dynamic was better because Red Hulk was so super serious all the time. And I just think of Clint as kind of being like, you know, poor man's Captain America.
Well, I think you can't. So we've done three issues of Super Serious. Why do three more issues of Super Serious?
Because you're not
give me some levity, like
I guess. So we'll see when it comes out. Yeah. I mean, I'm still gonna read it.
All right, Venom number 12. Rick Remender.
I love this.
So good.
Thomas says he thought it was okay. I loved
it. I thought it was all right.
The jack-o'-lantern stuff at the end when he was like running away, he was like, "Oh shit!"
Yeah. Say one when Flash lost it.
Yeah.
I thought it got really exciting, especially when he was just like ravaging.
What was that
Las
thing
Vegas
that he was
toxin?
Trying to get?
That's toxin. That's another symbiote.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. He did say toxin, didn't he?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Venom don't
has
like
that,
it.
Has toxin like been worn by anyone? Is that something that we? Or is it just
in Carnage USA? They said he was out of commission.
Yeah. The guy so who had been wearing the suit, yeah. I don't think is alive.
So that must be.
Do you think this is something that might?
This will come up in the
put into Carnage USA.
No, this will come up in the event.
It'll
the Venom event.
Yeah.
Okay, it'll cool. Come up next month, and it may or may not show up in Secret Avengers.
Because it's all in. Yeah, that's true.
Because Venom will be in it.
That's true, and they're going to Vegas in the point one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. Jack-o'-lantern. I'm gonna miss him until he comes back. I loved him so much. He was like my favorite villain in the Marvel Universe.
He is a great villain.
It's like, if you leave my family alone, I'll leave yours alone, and then just like flew away as fast as he could.
And then
like hit that sign and fell to the ground. It was awesome.
Yeah, I think it's the first time Jack-o'-lantern's really gotten to see what Venom can do.
Yeah, he was really
not
scared.
Not Flash, what Venom can do.
He was really scared.
And Venom's got the mouths coming out all over him.
Oh god.
I mean, like, it was cool. It was not nearly as cool as some of the other stuff that's happened in that arc, but it's a great way to set up next month.
Mm-hmm.
I like the art on like Venom when he's hulking out, Venoming out, and I think it reminds me a lot of Spawn.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of like,
well, that's why Spawn was created, because he wanted to do Venom and they wouldn't let him, right?
Well, sort of. I mean, it's the same guy. It's Todd McFarlane designed both characters, and Venom came first, and you can kind of tell that he just wanted to use that same design with Spawn.
Yeah. Where
he just gave him green eyes.
Exactly. Who
did the art on this? Is it still Tom Fowler?
This is Medina.
Yeah, it's changing for the crossover.
But
it's not a crossover, is it? Is it a crossover?
It's not a crossover. It's a series of point ones, twos, threes, fours. Is the way they're going to do it. Venom is going to. There's going to be a new issue of Venom for every week in February.
Dang.
That they're all written by the people who've been writing the respective books of those characters.
That's cool.
Yeah, so Remender and Tony Moore will be opening and closing the arc, which is awesome that Tony Moore will be back, because I love his artwork. But then, like, the Ghost Rider stuff's going to be written by Rob Williams. X-23 is going to be written by whoever it was that was writing that. Like, it's like there's like four writers on the event.
We're still dealing with Girl Ghost Rider, right?
Right, yeah. It's her. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Johnny Blaze is not. It's not Johnny Blaze.
Is getting drunk in the new movie.
Yeah, that movie looks great.
I was like, you keep getting me when you say like Daredevil was awesome. I'm like, are we on the same podcast? Like,
did we see the same movie?
I saw Daredevil 2: Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
All right, Thomas. Like
Thomas didn't read this.
Tyler's the only one who read it.
No, Tyler's not the only one.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You read it.
Link read it just now.
What I'm saying, though, is Thomas, mandate when we finish this, you take this out of the bag and read it.
How great was it?
Amazing Spider-Man, number 678.
Uh-huh.
Really good, man. Oh, yeah. Like, I was completely caught off guard by it being so heady.
Dan Slott is such a genius.
Very, very smart.
And the art's not that bad.
Oh, yeah.
It's Umberto Ramos, and you can tell, but it's not as bad.
I think
Spider Island
really likes
Tiny Waist and Sausage Fingers.
It just doesn't seem as rushed as Spider Island did.
I think
but
he really likes the fat science guy too.
Yeah.
Like,
and he loves cut off fingers.
So it
looks
it,
like Flintstones fingers.
Say it takes takes place a lot in Horizon, I guess.
Yeah, it's pretty much all in Horizon.
Can I take that to T-Town?
Yeah.
Okay.
But can we? I mean, I don't want to spoil it for you, Thomas, but. You know.
Basically, I told you the story.
Yeah,
basically,
the story
the story is the guy from the fat guy from Horizon Labs, who is apparently the worst scientist they have, invents a quantum door. And the door, he puts the door in front of the break room. And so the break room is a day in the future. So he walks in the break room, pulls the tomorrow's paper out, all that stuff. It's a neat little trick. Peter Parker walks through into a wasteland because New York has been destroyed.
Because he
was not there for the day that he lost when he stepped into the door. So now the door stays that way, even though Peter comes back through. So he has to figure out what he did the day before that prevented that future.
And the only thing they have to go on is that newspaper.
Is the newspaper.
And it says everything that Spidey did that day.
And it, like, he broke a record for purse snatchers or something like that.
Yeah, he broke Daredevil's record for 11 purse snatchers in one day.
It is so good. And the whole, it's like him, and he can't figure it out, and he's getting more and more frustrated because there's like a, it happens, he finds a watch in the wasteland of New York City that's frozen like a Hiroshima watch would be. It's frozen on the last time that it ticked. Which was 10 after 3. And so the book ends at 9 after 3, and he's trying to figure out what the hell is going on. It's
like 9 after 3 and like 45 seconds.
Yeah, it is amazing. It's such a my book. Like, it's such a story that I would love, and it's brilliant. And I didn't even, like,
I think it works for somebody.
Like, Thomas was in the store with me, and I was like, I'm going to pick up Amazing Spider-Man. He was like, really?
Yeah, I was like, Ramos?
And I was like, yeah, it looks Ramos? Pretty good, and everybody's
saying, I believe what you said was, I just want to read Spider-Man.
Yeah. I just love Dan Slott's,
like,
Spider-Man.
I just want to read Spider-Man.
Oh, man, I'm so glad I picked it up and can get past the art that I don't like.
Well, speaking of not Dan Slott's Spider-Man, Ultimate Spider-Man, Ultimate Comic Spider-Man.
Thomas, you still
six.
Not reading this?
Nope, I'm not reading any Ultimate books.
You suck.
You
dude.
Frustrate me. How you frustrate me?
Well, because if I read one, I have to read all of
that
them.
That
one's true. That's
was
very true.
Yeah. Well, I'm not reading the Ultimates, and I don't feel like I'm missing anything.
This was good, but I will say this: I did not like the art. Because
is it different? Is it a different person?
I don't know if it's different from what it's been. But Ultimate art is always supposed to be, I've always seen it very crisp, very sharp lines.
Yeah.
And this is like, it's like a painting. It's
yeah,
like
it's
a watercolor.
More photorealistic. That's true. So what happened? His uncle went to Mexico.
Yeah.
And his uncle is called the what?
The Prowler.
The Prowler.
Which is actually sort of an old, like, there.
The
He's Prowler the
world's
shows up,
best thief or something.
The Prowler shows up in the Spider-Man cartoon. That's the only other reference I have to him, and he's kind of like a bad guy because he has to be.
Yeah, he's like Black Cat.
Yeah.
Well, and he's got that shitty like electrostatic thing from the Tinkerer that only works like twice.
Yeah, but that's the thing about the art. I wasn't really sure what it was.
Yeah, no,
it
you can't tell.
All of a sudden
it just looks like he has powers
electric,
out of nowhere,
but not really.
And then what? Miles. What happened with Miles?
Well, Miles was talking to his mom.
Yeah, he talked to his mom about his dad, and his dad used to be a criminal with his uncle, with Miles' uncle, with his dad's brother.
And he's having to think in his head, like, that there's a piece of that inside of
him. Yeah, like, he's
like,
got these
I
powers,
have
and,
this.
And now he's got, like, genetically predisposed, perhaps,
he's
to be
worried,
a bad person, and he's worried that he'll use his powers the wrong way.
That's not how that works.
It's not, but he's a small child. He doesn't know. And you always forget that Miles is, like, 11 or 12 years old.
Yeah.
And
The fact that they're even
young.
Calling him Spider-Man,
yeah.
Like, he should be Spider-Boy.
Like, he is super young for the stuff that's going on in his life. Yeah. Like, and Peter Parker was, like, he was in high school,
15,
right?
15, 16.
Well, I think it was 16 or 17. He was almost to college.
I thought he was, like, 14 or 15.
I feel like he was only in high school for, like, a year or two after.
But all those Marvel characters started off really young. Like, Cyclops is, like, 15 in the first class.
Yeah, but he wasn't 11.
Yeah, but still.
And then the newspaper, like, he fights some robbers. And he gets, and the police try to take him down. And the girl from the Daily Bugle takes a video. And so the next morning, the uncle wakes up in the prison in Mexico and sees the headline that he can't read because it's in Spanish. But it essentially says there's a new Spider-Man. And he knows who it is.
Yeah.
Because he robbed the Oscorp at the beginning. So he's like, oh shit, that's where the spider went. So he knows that Miles is the new Spider-Man now. And it's really good. I'm really enjoying it.
One thing I really liked was, you know, he saves the woman or whatever, and you know, the police are trying to get him because he's Spider-Man, and that's what happens.
Yeah.
And the lady's the whole time going, no, he was very helpful. Yeah. Like, please, no. Please put your guns away.
Yeah.
This was a really nice young man, and he did something good.
And they tried to pull his mask off, and he was like, nah, bro. And then beat the shit out of him. It was good. I enjoyed it.
And he's the whole time he's going, how am I doing this?
Yeah.
Like, he's flipping around.
It's good.
So we started with a whimper, and we will end with one, I think. sadly enough, it comes in the form of Supergirl, number 5.
It wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad, but it wasn't what it's been the last four issues. Yeah. I don't know.
I didn't think it was boring. I think it's like, it was a necessary.
No, it's a transition. Plot.
No. I want to say this. So that was the first book I read after I got home from Kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was the first one I read. I was really, really excited about it because Supergirl's always so good.
I always save the ones I'm excited about last.
Yeah, I wanted to save X-Force for last.
Oh God, I read that first and last. I read it two times.
Read your second best first. Your the second most excited first, and then your most excited one last.
Read what's on top of the stack.
But
I read it in alphabetical order.
But so basically, it took no time to read. Once it was over, I was like, that was it. And that was my reaction. I think that's why I was really disappointed, was like, I was really expecting there, like it says on the front, for there to be a battle, which was mostly just Supergirl getting her ass whooped. And then pinned up
showdown.
To a wall.
And
she got shut down at the showdown.
Yeah, no kidding. It was boring. Nothing happened except that they were like, here's a little few pieces of dialogue to set up.
Here's why this is what's happening next week.
I'm excited about the World Killers and seeing the rest of them. Yeah. But other than that,
what was that door she went through? Did they explain that?
You know, not really.
Okay. She's pretty far away from a yellow sun too.
I think that'll factor in, but she's got batteries. You know, like, I mean, that's what she is. She and Clark are both.
There's solar batteries.
The solar retention of Kryptonian skin cells. It's a Big Bang Theory quote.
Somebody's going to write a paper on it.
It wasn't my favorite book this week, but it was needed. We needed to see her father explain what was going on and who killed him. What happened?
I was kind of...
Oh, no. Was it Jor-El? What a twist. Probably wasn't Jor-El.
Zod.
Was it Zod? Well, I hope it was Zod.
God, I hope it was Zod.
It's going to, I mean, like,
I want nothing more than for Supergirl to whoop Zod.
And Neil, first Neil before Zod.
Son of Jor-El. Neil before Zod. Well, thanks for listening to Probably Comics and our weekly segment, What's in the Box?
What's in the Box?
If you want to listen, if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can follow me at UncannyTom. That's THOM.
And if you'd like to follow me, I'm on Twitter at DTMills.
Hey, follow me on Twitter at LinkZ2.
And if you want to follow the show on Twitter, you can follow us at Probably Comics or check us out at Facebook.com/ProbablyComics.
Or check us out at ProbablyComics.com.
This podcast is unofficially brought to you by Kingdom Comics of West Avians, Alabama.
Stan,
Albert,
Jason,
Roscoe,
Clay, Sandra,
the crazy day more lady,
Jason Aaron's mom.
Yeah, thanks, Jason Aaron's mom.
Oh my
God. Oh, and I just want to give a special shout out to Jason Aaron, UAB grad, Alabama native, and a Roll Tide.
Yeah, Roll Tide.
For being for Schism, making the number one on the New York Times bestseller list for a hardback comic book. Awesome.
We have the same alma mater. We both have a degree.
Go Blazes.
Go Blazes.